It's Tuesday and time to read from your comments. Last week, we spoke with the author Alice Coase about his new book, The End of Anger. He argued that the moral marginalization of racism and breakthroughs like the election of a black president make African Americans more optimistic than whites. Mike Deal in Huntsville sent this comment: I'm not sure that non-Hispanic Native Americans would share your optimism. In much of the country, as non-whites, we were subject to the same segregation laws, and in other places that had no de jure Jim Crow laws, such as the West, the hatred for Indians was and remains palpable. Our discussion about post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, brought us many, many comments, most from war veterans. Ryan in San Francisco wrote, I don't know a single soldier who experienced combat who has not also experienced the symptoms of PTSD. The problem is that the culture of the military idealizes the tough. Going to sick call is for the weak. I'm not saying chains of command are not supportive. On the contrary, my commander encouraged me to seek treatment. The self-image is the hard thing to overcome. No soldier wants to think he can't solve his problem on his own or with the help of his battle buddies. And from Kentucky, we received this note from a psychotherapist who treats soldiers and asked to remain anonymous because of his job. He wrote, if we get them to understand they have a problem, whether it be depression, anxiety, or PTSD, they often then see themselves as broken. They hear that from their commands, supervisors, and peers. The services have done a lousy job identifying and treating these soldiers, but have done an even worse job to encourage them that they can get better. A lot of my patients see a diagnosis of PTSD as a type of death sentence for their careers and their futures. We have a long way to go on all fronts in treating PTSD. Finally, we asked you to tell us which canceled TV shows you would bring back if you could. We received more than 900 emails. The show most of you wanted to bring back was Firefly, Joss Whedon's cult classic, closely followed by Deadwood. Bringing up the rear with two votes was ALF. But Tim in Virginia emailed, the favorite for me was and remains The Muppets. The Swedish Chef, the David Sanborn sax character, the darling Miss Piggy and Kermit, where are they now? What's happened to them? It's a delight that YouTube has portions of episodes. I get my fix now and then there.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Muppet Show!
If you have a correction, comments, or questions for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. If you're on Twitter, you can follow us there at TOTN or follow me at Neil Conan, all one word. By the way, about today's program, we've gotten a number of emails that complained about an offensive phrase one of our guests used today, Indian giver. We let it slip by unchallenged. We shouldn't have. We apologize. And thanks to everybody who called to our attention to it. Talk of the Nation is produced by Priska Neely, John Asante, Peter Granitz, April Failing, Ben Tempshin, and Sarah Handel. Sarah also handles our web content. Our editor is Scott Cameron. Gwen Newton directs the program. Our intern is Kirsten Garris. Sean Phillips is our technical director. He gets engineering help from Jerry Tennant, Cal Southworth, and Michael Cullen. Our theme music was composed by Greg Smith. The senior producer is Carlene Watson. Sue Goodwin is the executive producer. Tomorrow, 40 years later, Henry Kissinger says opening the door to China was the easy part. Our two countries disagree on everything from human rights to trade to military power. We'll talk with Henry Kissinger and Ted Koppel on China. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation from NPR News in Washington.